1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 9. And we're only just going to read through to verse 12. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. Today, I think you will agree this is a very clear and simple section of the Apostle's letter to his friends and to the brothers and sisters in Thessalonica. Timothy has returned from spending time in the city, and he tells Paul of the faith that these young believers have, their faith towards God, and their attitude and their affection for one another and for the apostles. We learned this in the previous chapter where Paul says in verse 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. And this sincere affection, this genuine brotherly love that Timothy spoke of, having seen amongst the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul attributes that to the transformational work of God the Holy Spirit in the lives and in the souls of these young believers. Because again, we read, and I'm reminding you here in verse 12 of the previous chapter, where the Apostle says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. So the Apostle saw the evidences of love in the lives of these believers as being the evidence of the work of God in their souls. And Paul discerns and interprets the brotherly love exhibited by the Thessalonians and witnessed by Timothy as the evident mark of God's grace in the lives of these people. Confirmation to the apostle of a genuine spiritual work of conversion in their hearts. And I think there's a little lesson for us here in this verse, in this little section. It reminds us that all goodness, any goodness and grace and truth and spiritual wisdom that we possess is God's gift to us, and has as its origin and as its source the work of God and the instruction of God in our lives. Paul says elsewhere, we are his workmanship. And yet too, the presence of these gifts in an individual's life is an indication of grace and a testimony to salvation and an evidence of the Spirit's fruitfulness in the life of a believer. And so we discover in Scripture that especially in the New Testament, that especially brotherly love is held forth as a principal example and evidence of God's work in the life of a believer. The Lord tells his disciples in John 13, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And this is what the apostle is speaking about. But it's interesting that he says in verse 9, the first verse that we read together, "As touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you." Now, he's not saying that there's no value or usefulness in writing about love and writing about brotherly love or talking about Christian love. Indeed, he continues to speak about it, and he does so elsewhere, as do the other apostolic writers, Peter and James and John. And as we've seen, so too did the Saviour himself. So it's not that there's no need to speak about brotherly love or to write about it, talk about it, think about it. But what Paul is saying is what I trust we all know, and that is that we don't possess this love naturally or get it by ourselves or develop it by our own efforts. But rather, the apostle says, ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So that brotherly love is a spiritual grace, and it, with all spiritual graces, is brought to us and taught to us by a spiritual work of God in a man or in a woman's soul. Elsewhere, the apostle says, love or brotherly love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love to God, love to Jesus Christ, and love to one another in the body of Christ is a fruit of the Spirit. And this is the point, I think, that believers are taught of God to love one another because they are taught of God what it is to be united to one another in the body of Christ. It's a much bigger thing than simply having just an emotional response to someone. It's a deep-rooted and lively experience of empathy and sympathy and affection and care for one another and the needs of one another. During the Lord's earthly ministry, our Saviour told the disciples, his disciples, in John chapter 6 and 44, he says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." See, here's this little phrase again, taught of God. They shall be taught of God. Now, the Lord's reference there in John 6 to the prophets is, maybe we shouldn't be surprised, is to Isaiah. And Isaiah writes in chapter 54, verse 13, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." So the Lord was quoting Isaiah. And this is talking about a sinner's effectual call to grace. It's talking about the new birth. It's talking about the transformation of life that comes with spiritual conversion. "And all the children shall be taught of God," says Christ. All the children shall be taught of God. Now, this does not deny that there is teaching from Scripture, or that there is teaching from the apostles, or teaching from preachers and pastors. God uses means to teach his church and to teach his people. It does, however, acknowledge God to be the first cause in all spiritual wisdom and knowledge. He creates spiritual life. He calls forth spiritual understanding. And he implants in his children a teachable spirit, capable and desirous to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that all who feel the guilt of sin, all who see their need of forgiveness, are taught those things of God. And being taught of God, they come to Christ for salvation. And they do so obediently upon hearing the gospel. Though they never knew it before, now they see their need of Christ. And they come seeking forgiveness from him. They don't have to be convinced, they're willing, even desperate. Then, having discovered peace with God by the way of the cross, these quickened, converted souls discover that they have new desires and new motivations. They desire to show gratitude from a heart full of praise. They desire to live for Christ like they never did before. And this is the effect of being taught of God. So that this divine education brings with it witnesses and evidences and fruit of the Spirit. We're taught forgiveness, having been forgiven by God. We're taught to live peaceably, because peace is the great success of the cross. And we're taught love, because we see love in the heart of God toward us, in the motivation of Christ's suffering for us, and in the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. In regeneration and conversion, the Holy Spirit writes the law of love upon our heart, so that we love him who first loved us. And brotherly love for one another in those who are members of Christ's body is a lively evidence of indwelling grace. And it's reinforced, it's enhanced, it's stirred up the more we learn of Christ. So that the more we hear the gospel, the more we understand of the gospel and of Christ's work in the gospel, and the more the Holy Spirit conforms us to the image of Christ in the gospel, so we grow in grace and in the exemplification and the evidence of these graces in our lives and our souls. We discover in the gospel lessons concerning the relationship that we have with all who, like us, are members together in the body of Christ. Because we realize that we've been redeemed by the same blood, and that we are heirs of the same glory, that we've been regenerated by the same Spirit, so that our souls are one in Christ. And being so, there can be no division except where we allow the devil and the flesh to create one. We have love and compassion and empathy one for another. And the sorrow or the happiness, the success or the disappointments which one has, we all share in, because we are members of one body and we come to feel each other's pleasure and we come to feel each other's pain. Paul speaks in Romans chapter 12 about rejoicing with them that do rejoice and weeping with them that weep. And sometimes maybe we wonder why believers have so much personal hardship in their lives. Is it not that through these personal sufferings and trials and learning experiences that we learn to lean on the Lord in order that we might have more love and more empathy for our brothers and sisters who are going through similar experiences. These affections that we have, this brotherly love, it's not imposed by legal obligation, but it arises with the spontaneity of spiritual life, and it is deepened by Christian experience. If Paul had had to instruct or command the Thessalonians to love their brethren in Christ, there would have been something terribly wrong. But when we're taught of God, we love God and we love God's people. And this principle of being taught of God extended also to other parts of these believers' lives. For example, living peaceably with those around us, working diligently to provide for our families and to support the ministry of the gospel, serving honestly in our communities, walking uprightly before men so that the reputation of the church and the people of God cannot be impugned with any legitimacy by Christ's enemies and ours. There is, I think, something very delightful in the simplicity and the ease with which the apostle directs these Thessalonian brethren. Here is no heavy yoke of Jewish law and ritual. Here, rather, to these new Gentile believers, these first converts in Europe, was teaching that a believer's conduct flows not from imposed duty, but from gratitude, from the example of Christ, the learning of Christ, and the honouring of Christ in our lives. How blessed we are that God has taught us of himself, that Christ has redeemed us for himself, and that the Holy Spirit has called us to himself. When so many go on in ignorance of spiritual things in this life and in this world, how blessed we are to have been taught of God. Amen.